Hi everyone. So I'm supposed to introduce part 4 of our series on practicing African spirituality for beginners, which deals with understanding cleansings. But I want to tell you a personal story first. It's actually about this episode. It's a kind of a behind the scenes story. So this episode on cleansing was actually recorded in the same session as the last episode, which was about understanding umuthi. The two were actually supposed to be under one episode, but if you listened to it, you will know that Umkhulu Mahlalentabeni had actually a lot to say just on umuthi alone. So we recorded the first part and then we moved on to talking about cleansings, and that's when things got really, really weird. First, my recorder stopped working. I had to change the memory card and it started working again, but when I resumed the recording session, something was off. I gradually became dizzy and I got very, very disorientated. I really struggled to keep up, and half the time I didn't know what I'm supposed to be asking, and in an hour or so of recording, I think I might have asked something like 3 or 4 questions. Something in me said, stop. Just stop recording and go home. But this was very odd, so I kind of ignored that little voice and I just carried on with the session. And by the time we were done, every bone in my body was in pain. I eventually left, and when I got home, I felt like something just came over me, and I literally got into bed and I passed out for a few hours in the middle of the day, which is something very strange for me to do. A few days later, I was editing the episodes and I finished uploading the Muti episode and I wanted to edit the cleansing one. So I put in the memory card and it didn't read. It was corrupted. The whole interview on cleansings was basically gone. I have to tell you that it is actually not the first time an episode has disappeared, but this was a first time when I got physically sick because of an episode or because of what I believed to be a particular topic. Clearly, this was not supposed to happen. This recording, this episode, something about this was not supposed to happen, but why? I spent some time trying to figure it out because I didn't really see what the issue was. But nonetheless, I won't lie, I was quite freaked out by the whole thing. I didn't really know what to do or how to approach it, either with how to record it or if there's an issue with the episode or if there's an issue with... I don't know what exactly was the problem. So I did what we are always told to do. I lit my candles ngaphahla, and I stopped recording for some time because I was trying to figure out if I had done something wrong. But it became clear that it has a lot to do with the topic itself, because everything literally changed the moment we started talking about cleansing. So I gathered that there is something about that topic that my guides were, I assume, uncomfortable with. That's the basic way I can put it. As some of you may know of my work on Thokoza Dlozi on Instagram, I document Sangoma ceremonies, and it's something that I have been doing for the past 6 or 7 years. So about a week or so after the bombed recording, I was invited to a river cleansing where Amatwasa were taken as part of their Intwaso initiation process. So the morning of the ceremony, I woke up from an intense dream where I couldn't really remember what the dream was about. But the moment I woke up, I basically felt as though there was a conversation that was carrying on in my head, as if like I was listening to people talking. And in that conversation, there were aspects of cleansings that were being explained. When we got to the river and I witnessed the cleansing, it occurred to me in that moment that Amantabadala had wanted to guide me through the topic of cleansing themselves. While we were there, the explanations that I had got in the dream were basically narrating what it is that I was seeing. And I guess the premise of the episode or the premise of the topic and the discussion for me actually changed. I am not telling you this as a way of demonstrating my personal esoteric experiences or to get us to compare our supernatural experiences, if I can put it that way. I don't share such experiences a lot, but I'm doing it now because I feel compelled to tell you that your spiritual journey takes many different forms, and it is not always about what ends up in your head as you learn, but it is also about spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is not always about intellect. It is not always about how you are learning things academically. More often than not, it is an experience that involves your whole being across multiple dimensions in many different forms, and it engages basically all your senses, whether be physical or spiritual as well. But most importantly, it is God and it is your guides who will always be your primary and most important teachers. Sometime after that experience, I then re-recorded the episode with Mkulu. So without any further delays, welcome to part 4 of Practicing African Spirituality for Beginners. And today we are talking about understanding cleansings. Enjoy. Then talking about cleansing and getting a better understanding of that, in your interpretation, what is a cleansing?
I normally apply a binary view to many of the topics on African spirituality. And I do the same for cleansing as well. And the view from my side is this, in that in as much as we could use the English word cleansing, I separate between maybe in isiZulu ukugeza nokuhlambulula. Whereas ukugeza I would translate as cleansing in English, and ukhlambulula would translate as purifying in English. So ukugeza, if you were to approach it from ukugeza anything, it would need to be dirty somehow. And therefore then the need ukugeza. So something would exist in its natural form and then accumulate somehow something foreign that, you know, impurifies it or makes it dirty. And then ukugeza, which is cleansing, would then be a removal of that thing that was acquired. For me, that is cleansing, ukugeza. Then you come to ukuhlambulula, which is purifying. You have something that exists in its natural form, but somehow it's not experiencing life as it should, because of a blockage of some sort, or because it has not grown into a certain state of, you know, existence to experience that. Then you take that thing uyihlambulula, so that it reaches a certain state of, you know, existence. Maybe an example would be a situation where uVusimuzi needs to experience amadlozi akhe, but in his current state of existence he is not able to. So uyamhlambulula so that he gets to a state where he can experience amadlozi akhe.
And that does not is not caused by a blockage?
Well, there are blockages that come naturally. Mm-hmm. Say, for instance, a 6 month old toddler has not grown, you know, physically well enough to walk. So they still need to strengthen their bones. And in many instances, they still need to see someone walking and then kind of develop their sort of like desire to walk as well. So you have those instances. Those are natural blockages. But in many instances, and this is when it comes to cleansing, you have something that exists in its natural form, and then through life experience, it interacts with foreign elements, and most of those cause blockages. So in that instance, then once the blockage is removed, that was as a result of interacting with foreign elements, then you have something returning to its natural form. Whereas in the sort of like natural blockage, and the example of, you know, a toddler walking that we use, you kind of need to nurture naturally, organically, this child to get to a certain point where physically and willingly they want to walk. And even then, they would first start with crawling, stand up, and then as they, you know, strengthen their legs and, you know that they can stand up, then they can start walking. So those are the sort of like blockages that you would experience. But maybe just to take you back, so your question was what is cleansing? And my sort of like summarized answer would be, cleansing is the removal of foreign elements that interact with a natural being. In this instance, umuntu, uyaphila. Then you interact with other people. And then you collect, you know, memory from those people. And some of that memory is not necessarily conducive for your life experience. So we need to cleanse. So guess.
Okay, that's putting it in a way I haven't heard before, when you say you're collecting memory from people, because our understanding is that the reason you would need to cleanse after interaction with people is as a relation of, is in relation to maybe that person or those people having had either one, ill intentions towards you, or they have consciously used imiti rather on themselves in a way to impact you in some way. So when you say you have collected memory, what does that mean?
Well, it's not always a case of ill intention. I mean, a simple thing is a hug or a handshake, you know, would leave you with a residual memory of some sort. Yes. And some of that memory is not always, as I'm saying, conducive for your life experience. And that's why, especially in Setu Sobungoma, we don't touch each other. Because you might hug or, you know, shake someone's hand. They don't know that they have certain memory, you know, in their being, in their aura, you know, in their astral bodies. They just touch, you know, innocently, but not seeing that there's an energy transfer. So the rule there is that there's no touching. And when you see the other person, you acknowledge them by kneeling and, you know, clapping hands.
So you mean particularly in the context of a pehlweni, there's no physical interaction?
Yes, but I'm pointing to the realization that the interaction between two people will always have some residual, you know, memory to the one party or the other. It even gets more serious when, you know, people get intimate and all of those things. So it's the collection of that memory, and it's not always with ill intention, because the ill intention, you know, memory would be then someone using imiti to deliberately, you know, sort of like impurify you.
Would I know as a person that I have picked up memories that may not necessarily be sitting well with my spirit?
It depends largely on your awareness. Yeah, some of us are extremely sensitive to memory. I have a personal experience. I'm not sure if you know. But I get very uncomfortable using a sort of like a bath or a shower that someone else has used. to such an extent that I don't do that in other people's spaces.
Mm.
I do that only in my space.
Mm.
And it is under, you know, extreme and, you know, desperate situations where I would use space like that.
Mm.
And immediately I respond.
Mm.
I itch, you know, I'm uncomfortable, I'm unsettled because of, you know, a collection of that memory. But some people would go about, you know, it's not a problem for them.
Mm.
And I realized it when I started exercising back in 2011, 2012, when I was, you know, deep into exercising. There's public showers.
Yeah.
I have a huge problem.
Mm.
So said I'm the first one, or
yeah,
I won't do it.
Sure.
You know, so it happens. Interaction with, and it's not only interaction with people. Sometimes it's interaction with elements of nature that would leave a debris of some sort, a residual energy or memory of some sort. You go out to Pahla Emfuleni, you know, there's certain energies and spirits that exist at a particular time of the day. You're not aware. You went there with an intention to communicate, and then you pick up those, you know, energies, those spirits. They walk with you because you are alive. You know, they walk with you, and then when you get to your house, you try to sleep. Sleep is not coming.
Sure. It now that you're touching on the idea of spirits attaching, when you speak of memory that you pick up from a person, is that memory also a form of an energy, and is it necessarily a kind of a spirit?
Remember, in our first discussion, we spoke about, you know, the multi-dimensional existence of life.
Yeah.
Where you have biological life,
you
have energy life, you also have spirit life. And I'm sure if, you know, we look deep into it, there's other, you know, life experiences beyond that. So everything, in my view, has that multidimensionalism, whether it's a plant, whether it's water, whether it's you know, just wind, you know, it has that multidimensional aspect to it. So there's the biology of it, there's the spirit of it, there's the energy of it. And that's why when you would come close to certain elements of nature, say water, it would respond to you in a particular way. Even plants respond to human beings. And I mean, there's ample research on the memory of water and why water is such a purifier, because it has the ability to remember and communicate. And that's why it's so dear in the world of African spirituality, because the belief is that we can communicate with your ancestors, you know, through water, because all the water somehow reaches the ocean, somehow goes up and somehow comes back down again. It water is the only thing that has been recycling life throughout.
Yeah.
So your question was, would then everything have that memory? Yes, it does. And it's only when you have that awareness that you sort of like behave differently towards other elements of nature and other, you know, existences. You don't just treat animals as animals.
Yeah.
You recognize the spirit in them, you recognize the energy in them.
Yeah.
And people that have personal relationships with animals can tell you, you know, they are alive. I'm not so sure as to the extent of the soul, because we tend to, you know, define soul for purposes of human experience. You know, and the way we've defined soul, it's almost as if it has to be human. If it's not human, then it's not a soul.
Yeah.
But for me, soul is the spirit that gives life to existence. So a plant would also have such a thing.
A life energy.
And an animal would also, as long as it's alive.
It's got a life energy to it.
Whether it collects, you know, the same memory as a human being or not, it's a different thing.
But now, the way you're putting it, I think it would make people sort of now uncomfortable with interacting with people, because we are necessarily thinking that, or rather a person would imply that those memories that are then sort of rubbed off on you, if I can put it that way, are necessarily negative. And that means, so Mkhulu is saying that we actually shouldn't touch people, we shouldn't interact with people physically, except maybe then for close family or maybe friends sometimes. Is that what should do that? How we should, like, should we reduce the amount of physical interaction that we have with people?
Well, we do interact with people and other elements of nature in a non-physical form as well. And most of it is involuntary, in sort of like in that dimension. For instance, you sit quietly somewhere, and then for some reason you decide to look at this tree, and then you realize, you know, its movement, you realize its energy, you get into that moment. That's a non-physical interaction, you know, and it's bound to leave you with non-physical memory.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm not saying people should not interact with other people. The discomfort should come if you are away. And hence the birth of cleansing. And remember when we spoke the last time, we simplified, you know, cleansing to a daily thing as taking a bath. You know.
Okay. Before we get there, then, at what point would I know that I need a cleansing? Would I know, Vele? Or is it something that I would need to go for a consultation to figure out? Or can I determine for myself that I need a cleansing?
It depends on the type of cleansing that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my position has always been, you know, going to someone is a later thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things you can feel, you can see for yourself.
Mm.
Say, for instance, you know, Vusmuzi, you know, is a photographer and he takes pictures, and all of a sudden you don't feel as enthusiastic about what you normally are passionate about. That points to a certain, you know, existence that needs to be looked into. You know, I love taking pictures. I love going to you know, people's gatherings and experiencing life. But somehow these days I'm offish. That should tell you. Because, no. There's some attachment that has come into your space that kind of needs to be looked into. As to how serious it is, you know, it depends what attachment it, you know, it is. But sometimes a simple thing as, you know, taking a walk and, you know, and getting some air can cleanse you of those things.
So when you say taking a walk, it almost, well, rather, it implies that sometimes cleansing is not a complicated thing as we make it seem to be.
It's not. Basking in the sun is a form of cleansing. You know, getting some air is a form of cleansing. Looking at something different than what is in your mind is a form of cleansing. Sometimes I'm working on my laptop with my door open like that. I decide to look at the tree. You know, the work was clogging me. Like I was not getting work done. But I look at the tree, I realize its movement, and then all of a sudden I'm cleansed, I'm refreshed, I can focus on my work again.
But other than that, then a person would need a consultation when you realize that of the things that you do for yourself, the walks, you know, being in the sun, and also we spoke about bathing.
Sleep, which, you know, sleep is a form of cleansing.
For me, bathing is probably the most irregular spiritual exercise that I think I do. Like over the past year or so, you know, I have a very strict routine to bathing. It doesn't involve anything.
There's no mood.
No, sometimes nice bath salt, you know. It doesn't, for me, it is the thought behind it, you know, or rather the intention behind it. You know, I go there, and also, you know, it happens at a particular time. You know, it doesn't happen during the day when the house is busy and, you know, there's kids and there's, it happens when it's very quiet, and I do it when everyone has gone to sleep. You know, when it's very, very quiet. And I think it is the intention, or rather I want to believe that it is the intention that I put into it, in that I'm doing this to sort of, at the end of the day, to wash away, you know, everything that has happened through the day, you know. And I suppose then I sort of wash my mind as well. You know, I sort of go through everything that has happened. And, you know, if I've had negative experiences, then I sort of go through those as well. And, you know, and repackage them, you know, look, take out the emotion out of it. Like, okay, maybe this situation offended me. But if I sort of take out the emotion out of it, this is what happened. This is what happened. And once I've taken out the emotion, it stops being like a poisonous thing. It stops making me feel horrible. It's like, okay, then I can move on from it. I can sort of end the day then, wipe the slate clean. But what I want to know is that, is there, outside of the ordinary things that we can do for ourselves, is there a standard cleansing that people will, in, that anyone will inevitably have to go through?
I would not say it's inevitable, because, you know, we have people that have never, you know, gone through, and maybe they pass on or whatever, and life is just continuing. But I think time and again, one should, and this I would recommend to anyone, black, Indian, you know, white, time and again, just have someone look into your things, you know, just to check in the state of things generally. And that's where you pick up those types of, you know, existences, to say, and I'm shying away from, you know, suggesting that there will always be blockages. But I think what I'm talking to is, there are things that you can exist with, you know, whether negative or positive. And there are things that, you know, once they come into your space, they will definitely create issues for you. And a lot of us have a you know, a host of issues on top of, you know, this pandemic that is here. Just prior to that, you know, there was the mental health, you know, issue that was being spoken about quite a lot. For me, that speaks to, you know, an existence of sorts that we are going through as a generation that kind of needs to be looked at for purposes of cleansing. I mean, a lot of people were experiencing stress, a lot of people were experiencing depression. I view those things as experiences and, you know, memory that can be cleansed off, because there are people living the very same types of lives that we live, but, you know, don't experience mental health issues. So what are they doing different? It means there is a way of you know, cleansing or purifying themselves such that they don't experience those things.
I want to take a step back, because there's something I need to sort of get clarity on. Let's say I have a certain physical ailment, right? Let's say I have a headache, or I have a rash, or, you know, there's something in me. It means that there's something unwell with my body. Right? There's something on my skin that's come under irritation, or if I have a headache, there's a cause somewhere. Do things that we cleanse, the reason that we cleanse, are they necessarily spiritual entity, or are there spiritual conditions that are not caused by imimoya, if I can put it that way?
Well, if we put on that multidimensional, you know, view of life, there would always be physical causes for, you know, spiritual ailments, and, you know, vice versa. But you do have biological conditions that are a result of a biological, you know, ugungcola, or an impurity that can be attended to biologically without, you know, the involvement of imimoya. For example, let's take the case of constipation. The way, you know, our system functions, it suggests that there should always be a flow, right? What constipation does is it either slows down the flow or it blocks it completely, you know? And then once you find a way to cleanse, and when you experience that illness, it can create a lot of problems for you. You know, the example of constipation, not only is it blocking the flow, but it that blockage also creates energy around it, you know, that can manifest in many ways. So you can attend to that with a biological solution, and that's that. But you do have, in many instances, spiritual, you know, causes that would manifest in biological blockages and illnesses, and vice versa. And with the recent resurgence, or if I may call it renaissance, of spirit in Africa, you find that we are being pointed to a lot of, you know, spiritual impurities that we have to attend to, whether you have a calling or not. And in some instances, it's just amadlozi again trying to reconnect with abantwana babo. And because there's no alignment, then there's a need for cleansing. Once you cleansed, and cleansing means, you know, doing certain rituals and using certain things, then there's that reconnection, life flows again. But immediately when there's no flow of life, whether biological or spiritual, there would always be then that need for cleansing. So it's not always, you know, a thing that comes from imimoya. I mean, if we take it back to the example of shaking hands and hugging, you know, some of those things stick to your skin, and once you take a bath, it goes. There's no imimoya involved there.
Okay.
But when it gets a bit serious, then that's when you kind of need, you know, someone's intervention to say, no, gune imimoya that you've interacted with. And it's not always human to human imimoya. There's also animal to human imimoya, plant to human imimoya.
So here's I don't know how complicated this question is. Let's say you have a family, and that family has a, you know how some families have a family ailment?
Yeah.
There's diabetes, there's cancer, there's, you know, and in some cases you don't have a physical ailment. Some people have, let's say, I don't want to say bad luck, let's say there's a struggle with addiction. Let's say addiction.
Oh yeah.
Right. Would such things be a living entity, an existence that is passed on through generations? Or is it a spiritual condition that is passed on through generations?
Remember, lineage and in inheritance is foundationally, primarily a biological thing. But obviously there's that spiritual attachment to it, because biology is alive because of spirit. So I mean, I have a recent case of dementia with a certain family, where as soon as they get to a certain age, it's a known thing, you know, they experience dementia, and it's been happening to the great grandmother, you know, grandmother, and now the daughter is preparing to, you know, experience it as well, because she's approaching that age. But when we threw bones and, you know, looked at the situation, it had a spiritual origin to it, you know. There were gogos of that family that were not, you know, acknowledged in a certain way, according to ritual, that then they sent a message back to those who are alive via this illness. And because it's been experienced by, you know, generation after generation, it has become accepted. But when we looked at it, we're like, but there's no need for this family to experience this. We just need to perform, you know, or attend to leso skalo salabokoko, and, you know, females going forward would not experience those things. So also, there was that element of epigenetics mm-hmm. that we spoke about, which is something that can be cleansed.
Yeah. And epigenetics is basically memory. It's genetic memory.
Yes. That we don't necessarily have. It's a blind spot in many instances, because people don't see how my father's behavior throughout his life could influence my behavior. You know, but it's carried in your DNA. And as you experience life, it comes out somehow. It's something that can be cleansed. Yeah. But now if we get back to your example of addiction, there are those existences where you find Okuti. Not only are we walking with our parents' noses in our face, but we're also walking with their spiritual ailments. And until it's identified and cleansed, it's going to continue from generation to generation. Yes.
So then let's talk about the issue of cleansing ancestors. Why do I need to cleanse my ancestors, and why does it have to happen through my body? Why can't we do a ceremony where whatever, you know, we make jwala or you make chickens, what, and it happens like separate to me? Why does it have to involve my physical body in the cleansing of ancestors?
Well, a one-line answer to that would be, your ancestors exist through you, right? And therefore, whether cleansing or veneration or acknowledgement or whatever needs to happen with them has to happen through you. As a continuation of, you know, their existence. And that's why if akunabantwana, then the life of those ancestors would kind of stop. But again, there are two elements to it. You know, here goes my binary view. there are two elements to it. The first one is that as Abantu, we have guardian angels, and this is not written in any book, so don't ask me for sources. We have guiding angels that are assigned to our lives in a form of amadlus. So as you sit here, as Uvusmus, you represent certain, you know, spiritual entities assigned to you specifically. Some of those need healing. And because they are assigned to you, they can only get that healing through you.
And under what circumstances would a spirit need healing, though? Like, what would... Because, and the reason I ask is that our general understanding is that when a person passes away and they enter the spiritual realm, part of the reason that we interact with them is that they have a broader understanding of life, right? They can see into the future, they can see into the past. They have, you know, they have ascended into a higher realm. But then why can't they heal themselves? And why does it that healing need to happen through me? You know, why don't they
heal themselves?
why can't they heal themselves?
The opposite end of my binary view I was referring to just now is, so you have your ancestors, you know, specific to you as Vusmuzi, but also the family has, you know, that disposition as well. As a family, we have a certain, you know, set of ancestors assigned to this particular generation, and as a tribe, as a nation, and it goes you know, that direction. But the opposite end of that view is this, that, you know, and I don't have any other word for this besides spirit, that at a certain level of existence, spirit exists independent of memory. It's pure. Maybe if you can if you could borrow a word, it's divine.
Hmm.
So divinity then means it's not, it doesn't have any duality.
Hmm.
There's no right or wrong.
Hmm.
It doesn't also have any life memory.
Hmm.
It's just divine.
Mm-hmm.
But at a later point, we individuate into the tribes, the families, the people that we are.
Mm.
And that's when...
And the lineages through which we come. Yes,
and that's when we collect life memory.
Mm.
So, for some of those that have individuated, have collected memory, and not always bad memory, because sometimes it's good memory.
Mm.
But it kind of serves as a hurdle to reintegrating into the divine.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure if that makes sense.
So if I sort of translate that, they have developed an attachment of some sort. There's something, yes. Rather I'm seeing in my head, I'm seeing a chain. Like there's something then that is holding them, that's chaining them, yes, to
transcending into divine spirituality and not individuated spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it almost looks like it's not possible to transcend into divine spirituality without the cleansing of that spirit.
Mm.
And in as much as amadlozi that are assigned to Vusumuzi experience healing through you, those will also need some form of healing. Although not specifically through you, but certain things need to happen for them to break those chains and transcend. I don't know if...
I get it. Yeah. I get it. And I think for me, the reason why I think that the chain example sort of helps me understand this and the reasons why a particular spirit we need to be cleansed is that a chain is attached to one point.
Yes.
Right. So you find that, or rather I'm assuming that that spirit is attached to a certain moment, is attached to a certain situation that they are chained to. And it is that situation that from which the chain then needs to be cut.
And the situation is not a singular moment in time. It can also be a lifetime.
Okay.
So you have, you know, a spirit experiencing life through Vusumuzi, and then at some point they need to transcend. So they need to leave the whole life experience like Vusumuzi behind. And that only happens through some form of cleansing. It might not be through you. It might be through cleansing of Ikaya. It might be through cleansing of Isbaya. And in with my recent realizations, sometimes cleansing of is Inkundla as well. For instance, you know, certain rivers, you know, being cleansed, certain, you know, areas of plants, like a set of trees, you know, would hold on to certain memory. And then there'll be instances where every time someone passes there, whether driving or not, there'll be an accident, a car accident. People always experience car accidents in that particular spot. But there's nothing there that we can see physically. It kind of talks to a memory that somehow is stuck there, a chain that it somehow is stuck there, that produces death. And you need some sort of awareness of it, and then the following cleansing of it for there not to be car accidents in that spot.
Yeah. Right now, we've come out of Women's Month.
Yes.
And Women's Month is usually highlighted by horrible crimes.
Yeah, that, unfortunately.
That are committed by men, right? And we are not oblivious, we as men, as black men in particular, we are not oblivious to the fact that we come from a generation of very troubled men.
Yes.
Right? Our fathers, our grandfathers, you know, there's a historical context to it. There's a multi-generational historical context to it. Does this then imply that on a spiritual level that there we have a lot of troubled male spirits that Definitely. We are assigned to or who are assigned to us?
Definitely we have a lot of troubled spirits, masculine, you know, in their experience that need healing through us. But again, I'm of the view that, you know, as we move throughout the ages, the cosmic ages, you know, some of that memory kind of impedes our transcendence from, you know, one cosmic era to another. And as we have seen in recent years, a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of positives, you know, towards how we treat women generally. There's opportunities that have been extended to them which were not that case before. But for us to fully transcend into an age where we embrace women as, you know, equal human beings, that memory of men who were behaving the opposite way needs to be cleansed of us. And how else is that going to happen without our human, you know, physical participation? Because remember, biology is the foundation of life, and this is where this healing of these troubled spirits needs to happen. Whether they're assigned to you, Vusmuzi, as a person, or they're assigned to a certain inkundla, you know, of nature, that memory needs to be cleansed off. And in some instances, you could just see it by, you know, a few biological signs. I mean, there was a scientific study, I can't remember whether it was Yale or MIT, that suggested that the Y chromosome is shrinking and it's losing its quality. Almost as if it goes towards that trajectory, we will at some point in life lose males. I mean, just thinking about that is outstanding. It's horrifying. But what it talks to is there is memory which is not conducive to the flow of life, that is masculine, that needs cleansing. And it is through the deliberate participation of us as human beings, cleansing of that memory,
as men of this generation,
that would kind of, you know, heal it. And a lot of the, you know, the approaches that we have in life, I mean, our ideas of what a man means in this age, what, you know, the purpose of ubudoda or what ubudoda is, and how we define it in relation to, you know, the opposite sex, it needs a deep fundamental cleansing. A deep fundamental cleansing, whether it's horrible things that, you know, oh, baba betu na bomkhulu betu performed against ogogo betu, or sometimes even the residual energy that was generated, because some of these things can stay, you know, and travel with them. But it talks to there being a need to cleanse the male genome, the Y chromosome. And I mean, as I'm talking now, I'm realizing that we're speaking here at atomic cellular level. We haven't even spoken about Vusmuzi. We're speaking about things that exist inside Vusmuzi that need cleansing. And sometimes that's how multidimensional and unsimplified cleansing is. Because we can talk about cleansing me as a person, but there are things that you know, are in my cells, are in my molecules, that kind of need that type of attention for me to, you know, move ahead and allow that flow of life and that flow of energy. And when we do cleansing, we kind of have to apply sort of like that approach to say, well, we're not cleansing smooth so that, you know, we are going deep into this person to make sure that whatever is not conducive for progress of life, for continuation of life, we also cleanse off.
Sure. It's making me sort of imagine that there would be a very intensive cleansing, like one of those that happen for like over a month, where you have to keep, where you have to keep coming back.
No, but sometimes it just takes a single turn of the knob to send, you know, this whole energy into a different direction. So if you just do this one thing, then it switches the direction to sort of like where it needs to go. It might not happen today, might not happen in 5 years' time, but eventually it's not moving in the original direction anymore. It's changed course completely.
Can a cleansing harm a person?
Definitely. Remember, cleansing is not always about removing bad stuff. There is positive stuff as well that sometimes, you know, and this might be a controversial view, that sometimes is not necessary, you know, for continuation of life. And Mina, my position has always been, one should always strike a spiritual balance, free of, you know, moral burdens and all of those things. Because the suggestion is that, okay, when you cleanse, you're removing bad stuff and you remain with the positive stuff. But too much of the positive stuff can also be bad.
In what instance though?
Say for instance, you have Vusmuzi saying, I just want to take a very, maybe a very, you know, relevant example. Let's take alcohol, right? You come from a family of alcoholics, and Uvusmuzi has experienced this alcoholism as a troubling factor in the family, and he somehow thinks, no, no, we should, you know, discontinue this abuse of alcohol in this family. He decides to not drink, and then his brother joins him, his cousin joins him, you know. It becomes a thing now that go in this family. When you have too many of those people, abanga pools, and when they get into a space, they kind of now apply an anti, you know, alcohol view to life. And at some point, it will get to a point where they will want to make sure there's no existence of alcohol. Will they do that in a good way? Sometimes it means mistreating alcoholics and getting rid of them. And once they deliberately now want to make sure there's no alcohol, it's changed. Now it's no longer about, let's keep this space clean that there's no alcohol.
It's now about rules,
let's get rid of alcoholics. And getting rid of alcoholics, you know, you have a, you know, group of good people who started out, you know, intentionally, you know, with a good intention, but ultimately it ends up, you know, with a bad outcome. I mean, I'd like to believe Christianity was one of those as well. You know, at some point, it was about what the original, you know, theme of Christianity was. But at some point, they go to hunting witches, you know.
I get that because I spoke to Coco and she was telling me about her particular case where her dominant guide is her maternal grandmother, who was Umama Umthandazo, and but because of the circumstances back then, and the need to hide callings and anything related to African spirituality. A lot of people then adopted a very anti-African spirituality stance to the extent where I can say it could get violent,
exactly.
Where people could disown people, you know, families could be ripped apart.
And sometimes kill people.
Yes. Mm. Only there, but then a generation later, two generations later, you know, it comes out that, you know, Ugogo had a calling, Umkulu had a calling, but Umkulu was a pastor, Umkulu Ugogo was, you know, Mama Mthandazo. And what was meant to be a positive thing in the family at that time ended up then becoming, I won't say a curse, but it ended up being a burden then on the family, because then spiritually the family starts struggling because of this decision that was taken. Okay. When you said, you know, positive things could turn bad, I didn't quite get it. I didn't look at it that way. It's a very mind-opening perspective, and I get it, because people who when you struggle with alcohol, you have a different relationship to alcohol than everyone else.
Yes.
There are people who can go for months without drinking and then they drink, whereas you know, for you, getting by one day is an achievement. And you can't then want to create a rule where around you no one drinks because of your own fear of alcoholism.
And you are going to block, in the example that you just, you know, used, you are going to block certain expressions of any life energy that, you know, would, the blockage would, as time goes on, create some sort of spiritual inflammation.
It's like when sort of trying to prevent everyone from getting cancer in the family and forcing people to adopt certain behaviors or diets so that no one can get cancer, whereas not everyone was going to get cancer in the family. Okay.
So do you see now how cleansing does not only attend to removing bad memory, but also, you know, good memory.
Mm-hmm.
So as to sort of like try and always have a balance of, you know, both good and bad, and go towards some sort of, you know, a divine experience of life.
I guess then it speaks to the importance of creating a context for the cleansing.
Yes.
That you there needs to be a very, very specific cleansing for a very, very specific reason.
Yes.
And you need to understand what that reason is.
Exactly. And when you're doing root cause analysis through ukuhlahluba, you know, that's when you get into the details, you ask. Okay, we can see the manifestation, we can see the symptoms, but what exactly is the problem? And, you know, and after thought would be, okay, if we cleanse it this way, would it have, you know, the desired result for now and going forward? Because you always have that, you know, two-way communication with the spirit. Yeah.
And I think I'm very glad that we touched on the issue of cleansing men in the broader sense, because a lot of the time when you talk about cleansing, the general example that comes up is women who've had either abortions or women who have had who have miscarried, or women who've had. You know, it's always attached to that.
It points to that,
and I think sometimes it's overemphasized, and it's sort of packaged in a way to that this, I think the woman has done something, or she's now in a bad way.
She's carrying this
bad, you know, literally, you know.
Yeah.
So it brings me to wanting to then ask about cleansing of the home. Because then that's where we generally hear that konomoyo mubi.
Yeah.
You know. So can you just talk us through cleansing of the home, like under what circumstances as well? Or is it also one of those things where you would have to go to consult your hlahloba to check if there is, or can a person just say, I know something doesn't feel right in this house, something has shifted or something has come?
Well, you have, you know, things that are generally available for, cleansing a home to the public for minor things, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, you would have to look at the situation as to what is wrong with that home. Remember, a home represents a spiritual cluster of spirit, a spiritual cluster of energies.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as you can see, these homes, most of them don't have, you know, walls around them. So you can't really, and unless you see the wall starts here, mm-hmm. then you can then say, okay, this is, someone's yard. But in as much as physically we can separate homes, spiritually we can do that as well. So those spiritual clusters of imindeni have certain existences. Mm. So you would have a setup, for instance, like Kayago Wasbego. You know, we have Amadroso Wasbego and everything is fine. And then a foreign element walks in, you know, and it's got symptoms where Ebsugaslali, you know, or sometimes we just hear knocks on the door, but there's no one there. And just generally, when people are in this space, they are sickly and, you know. Depending on the seriousness of that foreign element coming in, some of these things you can easily do when for yourself to cleanse the home.
Okay.
For instance, you take water. And then you set intention on that water through upahla. And then you sprinkle around and say, okay, I'm deliberately chasing whatever has come into the space to say, this is not your space, go wherever you come from. Water. Sometimes lighting a candle and speaking, you know, through upahla or prayer and setting that in intention forward can cleanse a home without even involving isangoma. But then again, it depends what kind of a home is it. Because zikhona izindlu where kunezikhwama zamadlozi omsebenzi. And in that house, there's certain things that are supposed to exist. You know, for instance, umsamo, you know, which is built in a particular way, indumba, you know, for instance. Then with those kind of setups, you need, you know, services of isangoma to bring certain immunity to cleanse spaces like that. But generally, I mean, there are smudge sticks, you know, that you can get from Dischem that you can cleanse a home with. But again, it takes us back to our definition of cleansing. You get an instance where there is a home that exists in a particular way, and then there's a foreign element coming in. Therefore, it needs to be cleansed of igezwe.
Would that again, coming back to our upbringing and how we are socialized with spirituality and ukuloya, would that necessarily be someone's actions that there's a foreign entity that has entered the yard and has then created a bad energy? Is it necessarily because by a lawyer in next door?
Well, in many instances, that's not the case. In many instances, that's not the case. If a home is properly set up, physically, spiritually, you know, the energy is right. Amadlozi can, in most instances, deal with those things. Whether they show you that there are people who are doing things or not, but in most instances, if a home is spiritually, you know, the spiritual architecture is okay, Amadlozi can deal with those things. But in many of the instances where you find Uguti, first and foremost, the spiritual architecture of the home is not, you know, correct. And then that's when you have Amadlozi akulelo khaya creating certain energies to sort of like disorientate dwellers of that home. So that they pay attention to certain things. It's very rare that you would find, and I mean, they'll always be about Takati next door. But in many instances, homes are not cleansed because they are Takatwa. Homes are cleansed because there are certain things that are not taken care of that result in energies that are not conducive for life. So you find people bangakwazi ukulala ebusuku, not because umakhelwane uyathakatha, but because you've gone a month or two without having a conversation about the happenings of this home. You know? And they've been trying to reach out to you through Amapupo and Visions, but there hasn't been any reciprocation
on your part.
And therefore, aglalo engine. Abandona by a Caleb Sugu. And then when not knowing what is happening and not having that awareness. So we are Kichimo, Yulanda, Kokosban, or Mkulusban to come and do whatever they do. But all you needed to do is utata manzi, light in paper, or yabona light the candlela, and talk to abantu abadala and say, in the past month, Vusmuzi has gotten a gig. He needs to go to pertain to do whatever. Ubani Bani has done this, that, that, this is what has happened, and maybe for the next 2 months as well, this is what we are planning to do. So as to synchronize the energy, yabantu abahlala kulelo khaya namadlozi abo.
Let's talk about something, a spicy one. cleansing in relation to sexual intercourse.
Where do you start?
Where do you start, Vele? How? Because it's a very touchy subject, this one, because people are like, you know, I'm soul ties. If you sleep with 10 people, you're carrying bad energy. If you sleep with one person, you're not carrying bad energy. You know, how should we be approaching cleansing in relation to sexual intercourse? Because it sort of spoken in the direction of shaming people who've had
many
sexual partners, yeah, or many, because that, well, I don't know, does that mean if a woman has had, you know, if a woman, because usually it's particularly really referred to women, you know, if a woman has slept with 10 men in a year, does that necessarily mean that she's carrying bad energy? Or even for a man, for that matter, if a man has slept with however many women, does that necessarily mean that you're carrying bad energy, which necessarily means that you have to get cleansed?
I'm smiling because I remember I had this conversation with someone some time ago, and I had to take it back to what exactly is sex, and how it happens kind of speaks to why people have this biased view. You know, about sex and residual energy and memory and all of that. Remember, sex is the only physical activity that produces physical life in human beings. So there's a lot of, spiritually concentrated energy.
It's potent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People engage in sexual activity and a life comes out. It's almost like putting a seed into fertile soil. You know? So there's quite a lot involved in there. And it is only because during that activity, it is viewed as if there's one party depositing to the other party, and hence the bias view to say, because something was deposited, you know, into the other party, therefore they carry, whatever.
Yeah.
If
there are the repercussions.
Exactly. But once you engage in that activity, whether you are male or female, you said something earlier about spiritual ties. I don't see them as ties, you know, per se. I just see them as memory. And it is possible to have a sexual relationship with one person and inherit the sexual energy of 50 different people just with that one person. And there can also be spiritual, consequences to it, in that some of us have this spiritual energies, which are called spiritual husband or spiritual wife. And some of them, simply ngesiZulu, sibanezibhoko esihamba nazo, that we are not aware of, that find expression during a relationship of that sort. So you could have this one person, both of you have never had intercourse with another person, but one of the parties could have, you know, that existence with them. Uhamba nesibongo. And immediately when you guys meet, the other person has inherited that energy. Regardless of whether male or female.
Does having spoke, because it then when you say spoke, it gives it like a negative connotation. Is that necessarily a bad thing?
It's a very bad thing.
Hmm.
it's a very bad thing in that it's almost like having it tunes ilomuntu that exists in you that is not you.
Okay.
And always, because it's not you, when you go that direction, it will always go the negative direction. And some, because zenzi were deliberately, it exists to create chaos in one's life.
So then that entity would be then the one that is pushing you, if pushing is the right term, that is compelling you to engage in sexual activity with certain people. Is that what it would mean?
That's one instance. Somehow it would just mess around with you, you know, behavior. So you lean towards alcohol, you lean towards, you become generally destructive, whether it's, you know, sleeping around or something else. And in some instances you find that it has so much, I don't want to call it power,
influence
such that it even messes isibaya or umsamo wekhaya. It presents itself as idlozi lekhaya and assumes the responsibilities of idlozi. So nina, you think you are doing izinto zala ekhaya, and you're actually doing for that entity.
I would imagine this would be more destructive if that entity then comes across a person with weak character.
That's one dynamic. No, but once you have something like that exists, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, the type of person you are. It influences you. It directs your behavior. Where you have, say, for instance, a pastor, you know, someone of good, you know, standing, you know, doing funny things in a church. I mean, we've all heard those stories about pastors and young boys and all of those things. It's things like that drive that behavior.
So it sort of creates, in some people, it creates like an insatiable hunger that doesn't seem to go away for certain things.
And you can't scratch it off until you cleanse lesoslwane off you.
So does it, that particular thing aside, because I don't know how prevalent that is, or if it's something that every single person needs to be aware of. Outside of that, when should a person go through cleansing in relation to sexual intercourse? Should we cleanse after every party, after every weekend, you know, after every one night stand, you know?
I think for the biological residue, a simple bath for both parties should be enough, or shower or whatever. But again, it depends on the spiritual debris that comes with that sexual intercourse. And you'll never know until, you know, this thing is in your life. And that's why the recommendation would then be rather not, you know. And once you start doing it, then we view as you'll go around now increasing your chances of, you know, being in contact with, you know, such.
So when you say rather not, what do you mean? Rather not?
Rather not be that busy. Yeah. But I mean, I was answering to, you know, the biology of it. The spirituality of it, I mean, as we were saying earlier, for every interaction, there's spiritual residue. So if, and depending on, I mean, the life that you are, sometimes you might need cleansing daily, sometimes you might need cleansing once a year. But obviously, to minimize your chances of, you know, needing cleansing, rather, you know, not be that busy.
Would a woman who's a survivor of rape need to be cleansed?
It's a very soft yes. And why it's a soft yes is because we don't want, remember, the occurrence of rape, you know, as unfortunate as it is, creates memory.
Mm.
And somehow that memory is stuck in your biology, is stuck in your spirit, and can then be, you know, passed on to other generations. So because we don't want that memory passing on, then we need to have some sort of cleansing. And we do quite a lot of, you know, cleansing for sort of like rape victims, so that it doesn't become, because another thing is, if that memory stays in you, it gets you to behave in a particular way. And once you start thinking a lot about, you know, a certain occurrence and recreating that energy that existed when you first experienced it, you kind of call it again.
Hmm.
So it happens to you again because you are in the same sort of like spiritual space that you were in when it was happening the first time.
Hmm.
So cleansing you off will then free you of that so that it doesn't happen to you again. But the most important thing is that it doesn't also pass on to other generations.
Would a child who results from that situation also need to be cleansed?
That one is a hard yes. And this is where I become a promoter of cleansings generally.
Hmm.
Because I feel that, you know, when one is cleansed, it sort of like projects you, you know, into sort of like a fresh start.
Mm.
So a child like that would definitely need to be cleansed off, so that the negative energy associated with that incident does not follow them through. Because you find instances, and again, I need to mention, the cleansing is as much necessary for the victim as it is for the perpetrator.
Mm.
Yes. But for the kid, it's more important, so that, you know, they don't now exist, you know, spiritually as a result of
that act.
Because even if you are not aware of it, it follows you.
Mm.
Somehow it follows you, and it always catches up with you. So to kind of give you a clean start, let us perform cleansing.
To run this off, there's the issue of cleansing bad luck.
Mm.
Is it a situation of cleansing a general state of being, or is it cleansing a particular singular cause of that situation? Because when a person is saying, isn't doesn't humbly, you know, my life is a mess, you know, I can't get a job, I can't do this, or I can't stay long in the job, and such things. Would a cleansing cure all of that? Like, after cleansing, I'm going to get a job, you know, that everything, there'll be peace in the house. Can a cleansing cure all of those things? Or is it only for, do you only cleanse a particular cause? Like, you have to identify the cause first.
I think there are cleansings, you know, well, let me say, there is a cleansing that can attend to a majority of things.
Mm.
And there is cleansing that attends to a specific thing.
Mm.
And in the space of Ubungoma, because this would not necessarily be, you know, something that is, you know, anyone can publicly do.
Mm.
If you come to Endumbeniyami and I identify that, you know, Uvusimuzi on a street of Semali, and I then prepare a solution for a street of Semali, it would not necessarily take care of issues around your personal relationships.
Mm.
It would attend to a street of Sako Semali specifically. And this is where intention also becomes, you know, recorded, to say, why were we cleansing you? Were we cleansing you for Imali specifically, or were we cleansing you generally?
Mm.
When you perform cleansing in spaces like Olwandle, you know, and use certain things. It can cleanse sort of like a sort of like a bigger set of issues, not necessarily imali yodwa. You know? And it's not Olwandle specifically, but water generally. I mean, I find Uti, water can actually cleanse off a whole lot of things, regardless of whether we've recorded the intention of cleansing is Chitu Semali or not.
Mm.
Yeah. But there are cleansing, you know, specifically for into it is a, and there is cleansing that you can do that can attend to the, your general state of being. And I've seen instances where someone comes, say for instance, with depression. I mean, no one would think depression is something that, you know, can be cleansed off.
Mm.
But when you do a root cause analysis and you realize, hey, there is spiritual inflammation here that is causing this person to be, you know, disoriented spiritually. Mm. And as a result, they experience a lot of anxiety.
Mm.
Factor in their lifestyle, factor in their job, factor in whatever, the result is depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then you perform a cleansing for this spiritual inflammation.
Mm.
And the resulting outcome is the depression going off. And you're like, but we were not cleansing a depression because we don't even know how to cleanse depression. But we went back to the root cause of a whole lot of the issues that he's experiencing or she's experiencing, including depression.
Mm.
And once we cleansed the general state of being, we got this outcome. Depression was gone. And.
Togo's.
This is the last episode of this series. I guess it's almost like a workshop. I kind of like the idea of that. And I hope that you have learned something. And please do recommend it to anyone who is curious about African spirituality and does not know where to start. And with that, my name is Vusum Zinlandi. Thank you so very much for joining me on yet another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light. I wish you courage. And I wish you all the best on your journey. Makwande. Okay. I'll tell you what the explanation was. But I have to say that I'm very uncomfortable with doing this because I'm extremely uncomfortable about talking about my dreams. And I think it's something that we should all be uncomfortable with to a certain extent, because dreams are extremely personal, and I know that we get caught up in wanting to know what does this dream mean and what does that dream mean and whatever, but I think 90% of the time your dreams don't actually need interpretation. The interpretation will come on its own, in its own way. You just actually have to pay attention. But I do feel that it is important that I share this particular explanation. So, here's the thing. I'm going to paraphrase because how this thing was explained to me is a bit complicated. But here's a basic paraphrasing. How you can understand cleansings, and in particular the cleansing of spirit or the cleansing of amadlozi, you first need to understand or pay attention to dreams, right? When we are dreaming, we're actually getting a very good insight or an example of how the spiritual realm actually functions. For example, when you dream, because you are in a way detached from your physical body, it then means that time and space function very, very differently to how they do when you are in your waking time, right? For example, in a dream, you can watch yourself being born. You can watch yourself growing up. You can watch yourself going through school and becoming an adult. You can see yourself working, you can see yourself meeting a partner, getting together, getting married, having kids, growing old, and probably even dying. And when you wake up, you realize that that whole thing happened in about 6 minutes, right? You literally just took a nap during the day and you literally witnessed your whole entire life. And you felt it, you experienced it, you felt the time go past. It didn't feel like 6 minutes to you. It felt like an entire lifetime, right? Yet the opposite is also true, in that you can have a moment which in itself is something that's supposed to last a few minutes, if not seconds. Yet in the dream, it feels like you were in it for a lifetime. It feels like you were in it for like 1,000 years. This is especially true when it comes to things like nightmares. You can have a nightmare that felt like you were in it for such a long time. Especially when you wake up, it feels like, sometimes I have these nightmares where I feel like I'm never going to wake up. Like I realize that I'm having a nightmare. Yet I actually just can't wake up. And I realize, and I feel like I am literally trapped in this thing and I can't get out. And this is going to be my existence literally for eternity, right? Yet at the very same time, I can watch myself in that dream of myself in my lifetime. I'm watching myself going through this thing. Yet at the same time, I'm experiencing that myself. I'm experiencing the birth and the growth from the other side as well. So I'm basically watching myself while being myself. Right, it's almost like, so that the time frame or the time scale or the restrictions of time fall away, where you feel like you're literally in two places at the same time. You're witnessing yourself while being yourself at the same time. So it's almost like you are traveling back in time and traveling back into, or traveling into the future at the same time. And in many ways, this is also how the spiritual realm functions. Time functions very, very differently, in the sense that a lifetime can go past in 6 minutes and a single moment can last 1,000 years, right? So how this relates to cleansing idlozi, I'll give you this example. Let's say you have a great-great-grandfather who died by drowning, right? And that person keeps coming through, and let's say they are upset about their manner of dying. Yet you in 2021 feel like, but that happened 150 years ago. I don't understand why this Mkhulu, why this great-grandfather of mine now wants something to be done about how he died, because it happened a long time ago. But because of how the spiritual realm functions, that your great-grandfather is actually experiencing the drowning now, right? It's not that it happened 150 years ago. For him, it is literally happening in this very moment. If you can imagine yourself being stuck in the dream of drowning that felt like it lasted 1,000 years, this is what that spirit is actually going through. They are stuck in a moment where, in the physical terms, it happened a long time ago, but in the spiritual realm, it literally just started happening. This person is literally still in the process of drowning. So what then happens is that in some instances, the spirit doesn't realize that this moment has passed. The same way as sometimes when you're in a dream, you don't realize that you're in a dream, because everything about that dream feels very, very real. So the necessity then of a cleansing is that you're basically then waking up the spirit. You are waking up that person from the dream that they're having. It is not to say that you are washing away something dirty or something evil, but you're actually going through a process where you're almost pulling your great-grandfather out of that river that he's drowning in, and you're helping him realize that you're actually dreaming. The same way as you can be with someone in the same bed, a child, a partner, whoever, who is basically having a nightmare, and you realize that they're struggling and they can't help themselves. So you can sometimes just gently shake them to get out of it, for them to realize, or to, and you affirm them like, hey, you are just dreaming. What you are dreaming about has either already happened and it has passed, or it actually wasn't as real as you thought it was. So in some instances, then the necessity for a cleansing is to basically just grab the person out of that moment, or to help them get out of that moment that they are stuck in. It could be a situation that they are stuck in. It could be a scenario. It could be a moment. It could be an incident. It could be many other things. It could have been an incident or a moment that didn't last very long, or it could have been maybe even their lifetime that they spent in a certain scenario, in a certain situation that they were not happy in. And now, even in the spiritual state, they still believe that they are still in that moment. So then the cleansing, what it does in some instances is that then it wakes that person up from that state, so that they realize that this is actually not happening anymore. It is past. And in so doing, you are helping them to then wake to their new reality, or their current reality, or the stage in which they're at in their spiritual journey. And then when that happens, it could possibly be that that's how they will then ascend to the next chapter of their existence, or move on to the next phase or the next stage of their journey. And for whatever reason, you were seen as the person who would best be suited to be the channel to do that. It's not necessarily always about if you cleanse the spirit, then something will be done for you. It's just that the same way as someone you would know needing your help and you being the person that can help them, it would be complicated to try to ascertain why you in particular. And I would also advise us to refrain from always seeing ourselves as being a victim or of being forced into things you don't want to do sometimes when you're being asked to cleanse. And for me, this explanation made a lot of sense, because it took away a lot of the uncertainty about why cleansing an ancestor would be necessary, or why one should do it, not just for what you will gain, but that you are helping another spirit that you are connected to ascend to the next realm, or to the next phase, or help them to do function better in their reality. And thereby, possibly then they will, in their better functioning, they will be able to help you, or they will be able to guide you even better in your physical existence. I hope that helps. And